Would like to read with the Lord's help from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Acts, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them unto Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together, And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer to the Lord. The words of the hymn that we opened with really stirred my thoughts. As we sang them together, as perhaps a theme or central idea to take with us this evening. And that is, Lord Jesus, dearest of all friends. Lord Jesus, dearest of all friends, is at work in Acts chapter 10. And his plan, that his word and the gospel would go from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria into the uttermost parts of the earth is coming to pass. And the word of Jesus Christ and his teaching came to a man named Cornelius, a centurion. A man that, according to the people of God, was an outcast. One whom the Jews would never darken his door to visit him. One who could not go to the temple to worship God. One who, it would seem, was inaccessible. So hidden and so far was this outcast. And yet we see the mercy of God at work. The mercy of God that extends to all. Maybe in some ways we can all relate to Cornelius in feeling alone, or perhaps thinking that certain parts of our life nobody could ever reach. But the love of God and the word of Jesus Christ reached this man and stands as a testimony to each of us that there's no place too dark . There's no one that God does not want to reach. There's no one that God simply doesn't care for. And his arms are stretched out still. We have the benefit, or maybe the disadvantage, of being able to read the whole story and seeing the beautiful ending. But at the beginning of the story, we have Cornelius, who didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know how all of it would end. He knew the reality that stood before him and that he was a Gentile. What could he have expected? Could he expect much? Maybe you and I, as we look at our lives, we wonder, will God touch and impact? And could God possibly change? These things that are so dark and inaccessible. But God's love is like the ripples on a pond. Throw the pebble in. Maybe some of the kids were at the pond at the picnic. They like to play. You throw in, maybe somebody was fishing and they were throwing their bait. And it hits the water. And then those ripples start going out. And they continue in broader and broader circles, until every corner of the pond is touched. That was what Jesus said would happen. And that's God's desire. That's the character in the heart of our Lord, who has a desire to touch every inaccessible and hard-to-reach place. Everyone that man might say is beyond hope, God's word reaches out. The beautiful thing about Cornelius, a beautiful lesson we can take. What did he expect? He feared God. He prayed. He gave alms. In the sight of man, he might have been wasting his time. But he heard enough. You see, Peter says later on, he knows that they heard. He says, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. They heard something. They heard something of the promise of the Messiah. Did word get around about how Jesus said that they would come from the east and from the west and they would sit down with Abraham in the kingdom of God? And did Cornelius hunger and hope in that promise and desire and hope even beyond what he could expect that God would reach to him and that if God was sending his son to proclaim these things, and if the door would be open, that he would be right there at that door. He was responding in faith to what he had heard. He believed without the hope of an expectation, but only trusting in the character of God, that he is good. And that what Jesus said about him was true. When Jesus said, my Father makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. His goodness is reaching and extending to one and all. That's the God that is speaking through his word. That's the God that calls us to believe. To believe beyond what we normally think about, well, if you're somebody's friend, you'll do something good for them. Or if you do something good, you'll get something good in return. No. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet the enemies of the Lord, Christ died for us, hoping that we would be able to see by his demonstration of love that this truly is the heart of God. That he truly does have our very best in mind. And when we believe that, when we come to the faith of that truth, his commands are not grievous. Why should I not do what the God who loves me has told me to do? Why should I not do the very best things for my life and for my eternity? Why should I not seek to be as close as possible to this, the dearest of all friends? And that is what Cornelius pursued in faith. He believed and he feared God. And God gave him direction. God gave him direction and sent him a vision to call for Peter. Isn't that interesting? God has all the knowledge and all the wisdom. He knows exactly what words Cornelius needed to hear. Or would be effective for him to hear. Yet the messenger that was sent to him said, go call for Peter. A man is going to preach the gospel. A man is going to make known what Jesus Christ has done. That's an amazing call. For those of us who have been impacted by the love of God, who are in the faith of Jesus Christ, he wants us to take that love and mercy and share it. But yes, it is the power of God that works within us, and it is of God to will and to do of his good pleasure. And all of the credit and all of the glory goes to God. Yet, God is going to use a man. God is going to use a woman to speak the words, to share the message. And we in faith prepare to be occupied. And in a way, this is somewhat of a test to Cornelius. Do you want the easy way? Are you going to be disappointed if you don't get all your answers on day one? Are you going to wait till day four when Peter finally comes? Another test of faith. Another exercise. But it's well worth it. It's well worth the wait. It's well worth the investment of trust and acknowledging that whatever God commands is the very best. And it's so contrary to our nature. Everything about faith is contrary to our nature. Our nature wants the satisfaction and the results now. We don't want to put the effort unless we're guaranteed some kind of result. But faith believes the promise is as sure and as true and as faithful. And faith waits. Faith waits for God and his plan to make itself known. And while he's waiting, he's sort of in the dark, isn't he? He's waiting for a word. And then Peter, he hears, and he's being revealed something about how God wants to work. And he doesn't understand it right away. It seems like this very direct and very clear vision that's given, and he's taking time to think about it. How much more we need to take time to meditate and to consider what it is that God is speaking to us and what it means and when and how it applies. Because if we just let the words pass by or the lesson pass by without giving it time to change how we think and our hearts, we may miss it and then not be prepared for what God is opening the doors for. And Peter even had to go through this. He didn't understand the vision immediately. Doesn't seem to me. It had to be done thrice, maybe for emphasis, maybe to help him. But he doubted in himself what the vision should mean at first. And he was giving it time and giving it some thought. But there was a time when the thinking and the contemplation needed to end. And the Spirit said to him that three men are seeking for thee. It's time to get up. What do you think about that? You receive some indication of God's will or what God is trying to speak, and it hasn't fully come to full form and fruition. It's not fully understood by you. The moment of meditation and quietness is interrupted, And it's time to get up and it's time to do. But this is a pattern that happens often. The ideas of God are not just thoughts for contemplation's sake. And the ways that God teaches isn't just through words and visions, but through experience. And when we experience and put together what we're learning about God and see God is in this experience and he's working through it and he's teaching me, that brings us hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So as difficult as it is for this flesh not to get a little disappointed or frustrated that we don't understand everything and that we sort of have to move on and we have to get busy and put things into practice, what we know, without full understanding or completely being able to give the time that we think we need, God may say, no, you're ready. You're ready enough. I'll help you along the way. I'll be your shepherd. And so Peter goes. And he got up right away. And he went with the men, doubting nothing. He receives them first, and then he lodges them a day. And on the morrow, they went away. It's beautiful how the Acts of the Apostles, it's a historical account. It tells us what had happened. And the pace of this story is much slower than what we're probably used to. Somebody contacts you. They need you to talk to them. This happens, and it's quick, and it's fast. But this is happening over 4 days. And we read it over it so quickly. Now, they had to travel from Joppa, which is a seaside city. See, Peter was traveling throughout all the regions of Judea. He had started in Jerusalem after the resurrection, and then he had been traveling around, visiting with believers, meeting, doing healings. There was baptisms that needed to take place. And he found himself in Joppa, which is a seaside town on the Mediterranean coast, and he had to travel north up to Caesarea. Joppa was an ancient town. You find it in almost all the maps in your Bible, all the way back to the oldest in the Old Testament. And Caesarea was a bustling town that was either built or renovated by Herod as a seaport, a place to display Herod's power and the power of Rome. Different places. And yet he traveled. And he had time. Sometimes time is good. Sometimes time is tough. Because when you have time, you can have second thoughts. Wait a minute, who are these people that I'm going with? Peter might ask himself. These are Gentiles. What am I getting myself into? Am I going to have to go into his house? How will I respond? Will I do it? Will I not? What will the people back home say? And we find later that that was a challenge. But the most important question, when those questions inevitably will come to our hearts when we have time, is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then that time becomes good. It becomes helpful. It becomes an opportunity to grow. And Peter walks through the threshold. And Peter tells Cornelius, stand up. I'm just a man. He's a man, but sent on a mission by God. And Peter fears God too. And he's learning about the love of God. And he's learning about the work of God. That God is calling and cleansing and making holy those from among the Gentiles. And Peter was not to call them unclean or common. You know, you have various instruments and things, the tools that would be used in everyday life in Israel. And those would be the common things. But the things that are sanctified, the things that are holy, they're separated unto the use and work of the Lord, and they are found in the temple. And God is doing that work in Cornelius. Cleansing, healing, helping. He's reaching out to him. And Peter is learning about how God and his love shines on one and all. It's beautiful words that Peter says. Words of truth of Jesus Christ. They're the words that we hear week in and week out. Jesus Christ, the dearest of all friends. His love and his mercy extend to each and every one of us to help us to be the very best for our lives, to cleanse us, to make us holy and useful in his kingdom. May we have the faith that Cornelius had, that his love and his mercy would reach to us and meet our need. Amen.
God knows the address of Peter, and he sends Cornelius to him. Cornelius was in need of the gospel. We remember the Ethiopian who was traveling away from Jerusalem with a longing in his heart. And God knows where Philip is, and he sends him to him. We see Saul of Tarsus on the street called Straight, in need. And God knows where Ananias is, and he sends him. Here we have an angel that is speaking to Cornelius, but he tells him, call for Peter. God did not leave the gospel of reconciliation to angels. He left them to you and me. He left them to men. The angel didn't speak of salvation, of how. That wouldn't have been much to hear, because the angel never had experienced reconciliation with his Creator. It's man that did. It's Peter that could come and tell him what great things God had done for him. It's you and me. Are we the Philips, the Ananiases, and the Peters, that God knows our address, that we are devout men, that we are men that can speak of a change that had occurred in me to those who need me at that moment? Is God going to call upon you and me? Is our life in such, as Peter is saying, he preached peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The peace that Peter had was put on full display to Cornelius. You and I, brothers and sisters, must have this peace within us in order to be able to be used by God, so that we can say as men what great things God has done for us. This is left for man. This is the mystery of God, who leaves in men's hands his truths to live and to preach to others and to show and point to others Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, without that peace within us, he won't send anyone to us. And so this verse that we sang, we really have to consider the faith that is needed here when we sang, however he may deal with me, however he may deal with me. How did he deal with Peter? It tells us Peter was told on the seashore that you are going to die for my sake. However he may deal with me, whatever he wills, it will please me. That takes faith. That takes faith. Do I have faith? Do we have faith? Does this peace by Jesus come within me? He says, by faith, his will, my will shall be. Whatever it is. If it's his will, it's my will. By faith, whatever he may do shall be the very best there is for me. Do I have that faith? And so, dear ones, we really had a beautiful chapter here. In the next chapter, it tells us that when Peter was hearing this, he remembered, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The words of the Lord Jesus were coming back to him moment by moment. Are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ coming back to us as we live out our day? Is his word that dear and precious to us that we remember his sayings as they direct us into the truths that bring us life and peace? May he bless his word upon each one of our hearts this evening. Amen.